If you enjoy this podcast, then subscribe to catch all future episodes.
It's the weekend preview with Charlie McCann and John Richardson. How are we, fellas?
Top of the morning.
Good form, thank you very much.
Charlie, sort of more, he's in a more darker kind of, I wouldn't say a gloom, that's not the right word, just a sort of a darker feel. And Rico's looking particularly bright this morning.
Well, as probably our moods after Everton's...
Yeah, here we go.
And Newcastle's... Yeah, Newcastle are just tremendous. Oh, no,
Can you hear that, Rico?
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Newcastle are going to make Europe.
Well, it's war broken out.
Hey, well, Steve Bruce is staying as well, he says.
So he says, yeah, I think, watch this space. It depends on the progress of this takeover, which I don't even want to talk about because it's been bubbling under for ages, hasn't it? But, yeah, I mean, he's got... As I said, there's no problem with the owner. I mean, Mike Ashley loves him because all Mike Ashley wants to do is stay in the Premier League, you know, and he doesn't really want to feature at the top half of it. Just, you know, just steady on at 13th, 14th, 15th. He's happy with that, what, you know, before he sells it. But it's Steve Bruce's mentality you worry about, you know. You know Steve. I know Steve quite well. And, you know, the rubbish that he's had to endure over the last few months would, I wouldn't fancy it, I must admit, and it's going to continue.
Tell you what, though, he would have loved that feeling of the Leicester win, wouldn't he? When they, I think every point and every 3 points and every good performance, he must be even more as a result of what's happened.
But I'm going to do a Charlie here, because at 4-0, I'm still worried. And then he gets 4-1, 4-2, and then there was a fantastic save. I just thought this could be 4-4, you know, and I know where Charlie comes from with Everton. I'm the same with Newcastle. You just can't relax. You know, we should have a cigar on at 4-0, but I was looking at the little clock, you know, how many minutes to go. Even at 4-0, people say, what's the matter with you? Anything could happen. It nearly did.
I've got to say, I felt the same at 3-1 with Liverpool last night, Charlie. I don't know if you watched the game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. You at 3-2, especially as well. And but I thought that was a fabulous Liverpool performance. And I know it was. You know, I really enjoyed watching them. They set up perfectly for them, didn't they? And, you know, in scoring the but to come back from a goal down, you know, I think shows real mettle. When you know what United have done midweek, getting beat at home by Leicester, and, you know, quite rightly, I think Liverpool, Manchester United, I think should want, if they get into the Champions League next season, maybe Liverpool out, because Liverpool are one of probably only 8 or 10 teams who could win that competition. I don't think Leicester City can. But for Liverpool to pick up and carry them, I thought was, a, you know, and you look back on that performance, and we look back on that season and say, how are Liverpool, that Liverpool side, how are they fighting to be in the Champions League? Because they were very good, but against a very, very poor. And again, Harry Maguire has had his critics, certainly at the start of the season. You know, they've looked at, you know, he doesn't miss a game. Well, he's missed the last two. Against Leicester and Liverpool, and the L word is maybe there'll be a bit more love for Harry Maguire. I'm a massive Maguire fan, but they were shambolic at the back, I'm afraid, and it could have been worse. Of course, was there a penalty discussed for whatever? We've been there, but for Liverpool to do that, I thought was exceptional. But of course, it come with it, you know, this handshake gate as well. You know, with 3 into 4, what are we going to do? Is one of them's got to go? You would imagine. Mane, that was, you know, he won't like that. And what does he do at the weekend as well? They've got West Brom away.
Yes.
Away, and then Palace at home. You know, it's fascinating. I don't think he'll play the four of them. Maybe he will play the four of them in one of the games. But I was, and also thought as well, sorry, John. Dean Henderson, what was he doing for the fourth goal?
Well, there's a couple of things there that we'll pick up on. Let's do the Dean Henderson one. Roy Keane, I watched after the game, Rico. I don't know if you saw him. Very disparaging about a number of players, Fred, and I did actually smile when he said Bruno Fernandes spent half the night crying. But Dean Henderson, he said, looks small, which I thought was interesting because certainly on that fourth goal, he kind of looks like a small. He's not Laurie Civil, but he's a kind of small keeper, isn't he?
Well, I remember playing in goal for my junior side, and that's the sort of thing you do as a junior. You know, you wouldn't come racing out. You'd just be sort of stuck on the spot, if you like, a little bit afraid. And I mean, he made it so easy for Salah, didn't he? It was poor. Oh. I'm not a Dean Henderson fan. I think he's okay. I think David De Gea is the better goalkeeper, but he's out of form. You know, if you look at the two of them, David De Gea has been fantastic over the years, far better than Dean Henderson. But you have to look at David De Gea's form at the moment. It's not good enough. But he is the better goalkeeper overall. I think Man United, they might have to look for a keeper. They're talking about Sam Johnson, of course, started at Old Trafford, you know, the West Brom keeper, you know, somebody like that. Dean Henderson, not for me. Are we going to go on to... Sorry, Charlie, go on.
No, did I hear that Heaton's going back to Manchester United?
Well, that was a possibility as well. Oh.
Have you been looking in my...
stories.
Computer?
No, that was right, because Martinez has been outstanding. Of course, Heaton went, got injured. Martinez has come in and done unbelievable. Can I just a little point on Liverpool? Because I like you're saying, Charlie, I think Liverpool, of all the teams, have actually been the most fascinating this season because of what's happened. And I'm still watching. I'm watching Liverpool last night. Of course, the WhatsApps are flying left around, and I'm going, you know, Thiago, Liverpool was such a pressing team. Are they between to four into three? I think there are so many questions around Liverpool.
Oh.
What kind of Liverpool? Is it a Liverpool in transition? Is it Liverpool at the end of its cycle? Is Salah? I don't know. There's so many questions about Liverpool. More than any other club.
Yeah, I think that the defeats at home, you know, I think even something like Trent Alexander-Arnold is almost symbolic of Liverpool's season. When they played at St. Mary's, his performance, let alone his defending wasn't that great last night, but he played like Roy of the Rovers yesterday. It was how can a right back dominate the game? You know, Steven Gerrard did that. I remember at Leeds when he first came for Liverpool, when I saw, you know, when he burst on the scene, and I thought, my God, who's this guy? It was that good, I felt. But do you remember when Danny Ings sort of mugged him off? And he is symbolic of what has been. We look back on this season, you know, they've beaten their home by what, Burnley, Fulham, Everton, and they were lucky to score none. And yet you see that team last night full of energy, you know, the high press. And you just think to yourself, you can't just blame it on the lack of crowds. Liverpool had an extraordinary, because they started the season well.
They're on top of it, I read this morning.
Yeah, they've had this extraordinary dip. And of course now you think to yourself, well, who's the main threat to, you know, there are four teams I think can win the Premier League, which I think is really good next season. Manchester City, Manchester United, Liverpool and Chelsea. The others, you know, have gone a cat and nails chance.
Rico?
They lost form. Simple as that, didn't they? They lost form at all stages of the season are vital these days. You know, you lose a few games and you've had it. I mean, don't forget Manchester City. They lost form as well. You know, they were on stage 13th or 14th in the Premier League, but they have recovered. Liverpool's recovery is probably coming a bit too late, although you wouldn't bet against them now getting into the top four. But simple as that. I mean, everybody goes on about all the defensive changes, which, you know, there's been 18 or 19 different central defensive partners. But it was the fab three or four, whatever you want to call them, up front that, you know, lost their mojo, if you like. But last night, as Charlie said, you know, it was rediscovered. And Trent Alexander-Arnold, I think that's one of the best fullback displays I've ever seen. It was, as Charlie said, it was man of the match material. He won the match from right back.
I've got to say, and I apologise to all Manchester City fans. It was down on my little list to start the programme by saying congratulations to Manchester City, Premier League champions, because they've been the best team by a mile, Rico, haven't they?
I wouldn't say by a mile. I mean, I've seen quite a few of their games. You know, they haven't been the Manchester City of the last few seasons, but credit to them. You know, they played without a recognised centre-forward. The thing is, when you analyse that team, there's goals right throughout it, throughout the team. I think the leading score is only 12, but there's 11s, 9s, 8s, 7s, and that is vital. They don't rely on just one person to score goals, as they have done maybe in the past with Aguero. Yeah, the football, certainly, when it mattered, under pressure, has been exemplary. You know, they've been superb, and they have been good to watch. And to give the Pope credit, he does take every competition seriously. And he does improve players. But he does have, you know, a lot of money at his disposal. He can go out and buy whoever he wants. You know, I'd just like to see him managing Burnley, but, you know, that won't happen, will it?
Could Charlie, you say there's four teams can win the Premier League. I just wonder if a Harry Kane or I don't suppose he will now, Erling Haaland, went to Manchester City, they'd be over the hill and far away, wouldn't they?
Well, you tell Thomas Tuchel that. They've played them twice and beaten them twice. This season, but then of course, you know, you see the was it a freak result, the game against Arsenal midweek? You know, Arsenal never really had a kick, and the next thing you know, they've won 1-0. But you know, it's better to be a lucky manager than a good manager. One thing will be interesting, I think, the Manager of the Year award, which you know, could you offer it to Tuchel if he wins the Champions League and the FA Cup? And what an extraordinary transformation in Chelsea. They've got to get into the top four, of course. But then, of course, if Manchester City... And we do have to, I think, remember that Manchester City played weakened teams in the FA Cup semi-final and also against Chelsea at Eastlands on Saturday. And of course, if Aguero doesn't think he's really big bollocks, then it's probably a different game. But can imagine. I do think it's a four horse race. I really do. Haaland, they've got to get somebody, and I don't think you can rely on maybe 12 goals. But there's arguments that Manchester United need to get players in. Tuchel will certainly want to get players in, and Klopp will certainly want whether the handshake gate has decided that it will be Mane who leaves. But of course, on these guys' wages, it's a difficult one, isn't it?
Because we've let him off the hook so far, and I don't want to let him off the hook. Bruno Fernandes last night was an absolute disgrace. You know, a lot of my colleagues are voting for him for player of the season. I mean, he was he's just a big baby. You know, touch him, he goes down, he yelps, he's moaning at the referee all the time. You know, he's at people all the time. I know he's not popular amongst his teammates. Now, you know, the guy's a good player when he's on form. He makes things happen. I just don't like him. He's one of those I just cannot like. You know, I'd love to be playing against him and kick him right where it hurts. I just don't like him.
Why do you not like him, Bruno? Any word on, Harry Kane did actually, supposedly came out and said, well, you know, I might have a look. But will there be any movement? Will there be a Kane movement? Will there be a Haaland movement? That seems to have gone a little bit cold. And if so, where would destinations be?
Well, I'm told that very quietly Manchester City, trying to get Kane because, you know, they're trying to have a smokescreen that's all about Haaland, but underneath it all, I think it's Harry Kane. Now, the problem you have there, of course, is Daniel Levy and how much he would want for Harry Kane. Now, I think Harry would agitate for a move because, you know, I covered the game at Leeds last week, you know, when he cut a forlorn figure, you know, going down the tunnel thinking, oh, I've had enough of this. So you can't blame him. He's Tottenham through and through, but, you know, you should really say, Harry, you know, we've got a good offer here. It's up to you. And I think he would go. So I think Manchester City would be favourites. I don't think he doesn't want to go to Man United. I don't know what the reason is, but he's telling people if he's going to go somewhere, it'd be Manchester City. So, you know, I think that could still happen, but it'd be a lot of money. But because City do pay big money.
Have West Ham run out of puff, Charlie, just at the wrong time?
They were very poor against Everton, weren't they?
I thought
Everton played only as well as they did against Arsenal when they were fortunate to get a 1-0. Probably deserved the 1-0 against West Ham, and Everton woke up after 60 minutes against Aston Villa and thought, this is a game we've got to win. We tried to nick 1-0s in all three games and successful for two of them. But Everton don't deserve to be in Europe, let alone the Champions League. They're not good enough. They've been well managed this year and they've done the best of it. But you're telling Everton wouldn't get out the group stages if they got into with that squad. But it is going to be a case of rebuilding, I think. And you know my sentiments about half that Everton side just don't have the legs for the Premier League. They don't have, and you know, they don't have the class as well for the Premier. You know, to be, of course, that team can finish eighth is the best they could do, I think. Arsenal will, I think, usurp Everton, if not this season. Arsenal will come back, I think. But no. West Ham and Everton are the two who've probably overachieved. Leicester, arguably, also. But that's probably because we've had this extraordinary, you know, dip at places like Spurs and Arsenal and obviously Liverpool.
Well, Everton could be heading for the UEFA's new brainchild, the conference, next season, you know. We've got,
go on. Got
the Champions League, the Europa League, which is a waste of time, and now you've got an even bigger waste of time, the conference, which is one below that. And the incentive for the winners of this fantastic conference is that you go into the Europa League the next season. Wow. So, anyway, look forward to that.
What was I going to say? You put me off the thread there. I was going to say something to you. What we're talking about, Everton. We were talking before we came on about Crystal Palace, who I find interesting. Are we saying that Roy Hodgson is definitely going? And I did mention to you that I think 16 first-team players are out of contract. What do we know about Crystal Palace, Rico, in terms of next managers, and is there definitely going to be a change?
Yeah, I mean, otherwise there have been talks about Roy's contract now, wouldn't there? I mean, as you say, we're almost at the end of the season with so many players' contracts, you know, up. So they're letting Roy go down. They're letting Roy go the right way. You know, they haven't sacked him. They say, right, Roy, you've done a fantastic job. You know, we've got to move in a new direction. Thank you very much. They might give him an ambassadorial role, or maybe, you know, on the board or something like that. But they are looking for a new manager, and the current favourite is Frank Lampard. I mean, Sean Dyche, you know, has been talked about. Eddie Howe was talked about, but he's off to Celtic. That's going to be a strange one, by the way. And there's one other.
Chris Wilder.
Sorry?
Did you say Chris Wilder?
Yeah, Chris Wilder's had a mention, yeah. So anyway, in answer to your question, Rob, yeah, there's going to be a managerial change at Selhurst Park.
I hate to talk about VAR, Charlie, but there's been three incidents that I've watched, and having watched you as such an outstanding dominant centre-half during your illustrious career, how do you tackle people without following through?
you can... you're suggesting that Baez, I thought it was a borderline foul. I thought Baez is an accident waiting to happen. Every time he kicks the ball, he wants, but a lot of centre halves do. They want to follow through. When the Leeds player got sent off at Manchester City a couple.
There was Vestergaard against Vardy, the ones I've looked at. Vestergaard against Vardy, which was overturned. Balbuena against Chilwell for West Ham against Chelsea rather, that I don't know if you saw when he sort of but I didn't think it was a penalty last night for Bayern. It's an accident waiting to happen, there's no doubt about that, but I don't know how you stop yourself.
The stopping and going through and following through, I think it is a grey area, I must say. How somebody decided that, you know, there has to be clear evidence that that wasn't a foul. Well, I disagree with that. Whether it should have stayed with Taylor's first decision. And of course, it shouldn't have been overturned if he'd not given a penalty. But I don't think it should have been overturned when he did give a penalty. I thought, I'm sorry, Baez, you know, you can injure somebody. Yes, you've got the ball, but there's no question that he's not decelerating once he's kicked the ball. He's accelerating and trying to, you know, to get a piece of the player as well. I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to stamp that out, but it is a very difficult thing. And of course, it looks worse, I think, when it slowed down than it did in but again, I have no strong opinion about that. It is, I think, the least of VAR's worries. I mean, things like offsides to me is the main culprit of what has been a dreadful season for VAR.
Well, we see changes, Rico. I don't know that you've got to go to all kinds of legislators and all that to see VAR. I just think there's a general fed upness. You know, Mike Michelantonio saying, I don't even celebrate a goal now because I'm waiting.
He's
refining, doesn't it?
I thought that was really... I felt sick in the stomach, you know, when I heard that, because I thought it was a real poignant quote that I can't celebrate because it might be disallowed. Well, football's all about, you know, spontaneity, you know, impromptu celebrations, blah, blah, blah. All right, you look towards the linesman, don't you, for the flagger, but that's about it. But now VAR is crushing the emotion out of the game, and... I mean, I'm a VAR fan. Well, I was a VAR fan. I still think the equipment's good. It's the people behind it that need sorting out. And what I don't like is it's referees refereeing referees. I would like to see older referees, you know, retired referees who haven't got any issues. They should be in front of the monitor, not colleagues who, you know, they talk to all the time. So, somebody a bit... away from the actual, you know, sort of centre of it all. A Mark Halsey or somebody like that in front of the screen, you know, who can give a sort of a neutral view, if you like. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the actual equipment. It's the people, you know, making these decisions.
Are you excited about the FA Cup final, Charlie?
I haven't been excited about the FA Cup final for a number of years. If I was honest, I don't. You know, it is not the same competition. Whatever BT and BBC tell us, it isn't. It's as simple as that. At the same time, you know, it's likely that one of the big six will win it for the X year. Since I think is it Wigan, Portsmouth, and Everton in '96. And apart from that, Leicester have done well, but have they got as much chance as Watford did a few years ago against? Because Leicester did beat Manchester United, but they beat Manchester United reserves and they got beat by Newcastle last week and they're all over the line. But yes, they've got a chance, but I think Chelsea will win. Am I excited by it? No. I think, once again, I'm sorry to say, I'm more excited by some of the Premier League games this weekend and the battle for, you know, the Champions League spots and also, and I like the fact that there's games next week as well. And let's hope something goes right down through the wire and we don't have a damn squib on Sunday. Am I excited? Not particularly, no. But will I watch it? Yeah, I will.
Rico?
I'm still old school. You know, we all are, aren't we? I'd like the FA Cup to have its own day. You know, I'm covering Burnley and Leeds tomorrow. You know, I know it's 12:30 kickoff, but there shouldn't be other games on the same day. I know we can't go back to the old days, 3 o'clock kickoff and build up at 9 o'clock, you know, watching both.
That was brilliant, wasn't it? It was all on two sides. ITV and ITV.
It's a knockout.
It's a knockout, yeah. We can't go down that road, though, with Stuart Hall. let's not. Yeah.
We'd have to get him out of prison.
Yeah, let's not get down there, yeah.
Let's not go down that road. Yeah. Oh, dressed up as all come on.
Gary Gliss is thinking, do you want to be in my gang as well?
We'll have to get him out as well.
No, those days are long. Thankfully, longer.
The craze still around.
Old Chelsea Leicester.
Sorry?
Will you have chance? You won't have chance to watch it. You'll be over the Pennines or something like that, won't you?
I'll be hurtling to Abersock.
All right, there you go.
My seaside retreat.
Right. You'll probably need it. Listen, we'll do it all again next week. Next week, let's pick our team of the season. I'll just give you that to think and players of the season and managers of the season. Let's have a casual think about that for next week. Do that. Charlie, anything for the weekend? Have you got us a winner?
Can I just give... Gylfi Sigurdsson will not be involved in my team of the season. It's I was discussing before the game yesterday, and somebody, my brother mentioned, he said, has Gylfi Sigurdsson ever scored a free kick? And we said, we can't understand why he takes them in front of Luca Digne. Anyway, the commentator straight away, after about 10 minutes, having got a free kick, there to behold, he said, Gylfi Sigurdsson's never scored a free kick. Extraordinary myth that he's this dead ball. So he can take corners, though, and he's not bad at penalties.
I will come to his rescue. He's in good company, you know. If you look at the stats of a lot of the free kick takers, they're awful.
All rubbish, yeah?
Yeah.
There haven't been many this year. But I'm going to back a horse called King Frankel tomorrow. Guest finished sixth, which doesn't sound very good, but a lot of the firms were paying six places each way last week. Remember, Rob asked me last week, and I said, Ropey Guest. Well, he finished sixth in the Victoria Cup, but many of the firms were betting each way six places because it was a 25, 26 runner handicap. But King Frankel tomorrow, it's around about 8-1. I've just started writing my copy for tomorrow. And at Chivello at... I'm really keen on this horse of Donald McCain. Chivello at Bangor, I think it's in the first race. So that will be as John's on his way to the big one, Burnley versus Leeds tomorrow.
Fellas, take care.
Cheers, guys. Bye. Have a lovely weekend.
And you.